A few years ago, in this little town, like in the northeastern part of England, this little town called Whitby, if you ever go to England, make sure you go to Whitby. This little town called Whitby, it's like this old town, little cobblestone streets, and they have these really unique stands where you can go up and buy different kinds of food. And so I was there with a group of students. We have an amazing gospel partnership in England. If you can ever go on that trip, I want to encourage you to. We have this amazing gospel partnership. We were there with this group of students, and we were walking through the streets before we were going to go to dinner one night. And I stopped them, and I took them to this little food stand, and I bought them some food. I didn't tell them what I had bought them, but I bought them some food, and it was this fried food, so I was sure that students would eat it because it was fried. And I pulled it aside, and they were hungry. They'd been walking all day, and I sort of gathered them to me and offered it to them. And they said, "Well, what is it?" And I said, "Don't worry about it." And rightly so, they became a little suspicious, right? What am I going to eat? Hey, don't worry about it. Just eat it anyway. People are suspicious. And so I've got this tray of food, and they're all looking at it, and they're not sure what it is. And I won't tell them what it is. And so one of the kids goes back to the food place. This one of the smarter kids goes back to the food place and says, "Hey, what did he just buy from you?" And they said, "He bought something that we call black pudding." And pudding, what are you talking about? Pudding, it's fried. And so they were a little bit confused. They weren't sure what it was. Their cell phones didn't work over there, so they couldn't Google it. So they were just sort of stuck. And they didn't know what to do. And so finally, one kid steps up and is brave. Right, one kid says, "I'm going to take a bite, and I'll tell you guys sort of what happens." And so this kid got a big old piece of it and took a bite, and he took a bite of it, and it started oozing a little bit in his mouth, and immediately he's like spitting it up everywhere into a trash can. It's like it's coming out of his mouth, and like he's sort of losing his mind a little bit. He's like, "What in the world did I just eat?" And I was like, "Well, black pudding has another name as well. The other name for black pudding is called, you might know, blood pudding, right?" And yes, it is that gross. It's actually fried pig's blood. It's what it is. And listen, it's not that bad, right? It tastes like a McDonald's like breakfast sausage patty. Like that's what it tastes like. It's not that bad. But the first kid ate it and sort of lost their mind and they're spitting it up everywhere. And so then, do you think any of the other kids ate it? No, of course not. They figured out what it was. Right? It's disgusting. I'm not walking into it. So they had somebody try it, realized it wasn't for them. They didn't need to walk down that road because somebody had already walked down it for them. They learned their lesson from it, and they were able to stop and move on and say, "You know what? That's not for me." Look up here, guys. They learned from the experience of the one that went first. Okay? They learned from the experience of the one that went first, and so they didn't walk through it. The one that experienced it is able to go and like stand at the little food station and tell Americans that don't really know what they're doing, that are walking up to buy food, "Hey, don't get the black pudding. Let me tell you what it really is." And he's able to sort of help steer people away from that experience, right? You know what I'm talking about? You guys have been there when you're all out with some friends. "Hey, you try the food." "No, you try the food." "Hey, it's really bad. Don't eat it." "Hey, it's really good. You should eat it." We learn from the experiences of others. And in this case, it was a really silly experience, one that didn't really mean that much. You could have eaten it and been totally and completely fine, maybe a little bit grossed out. But a lot of times that same concept, learning from the experience of others or helping people from our own experiences, right, steps up into really, really big situations, or really, really important situations. The serious things of life would fall under that same sort of category, right? This morning, we're going to open up God's Word together, and we're going to look and see how our experiences can help other people, how God can use what we have been walking through, what we have been going through to invest in and to pour in to other people, right? And so this concept that I want you to get, and I'm going to give it to you up front, and then we're going to build for it and then end with it as well, is this. Everybody look this way. I want you to, you're going to have to repeat this a couple of times. I just want you to think about it for a minute before we do. My help can hurt. I'm going to do that backwards. My hurt can help. Right? My hurt can help. The things that have caused me hurt and pain in my life can help other people. Right? The things that I'm battling through, the things that I've been challenged with, the things I've been blindsided by can eventually one day, maybe not now, maybe not tomorrow, but they can one day help other people. God can use the situations and circumstances in our life to make an impact on the lives of other people. You might be wondering, how can God use this? When is God going to use this? What is it going to look like when God does decide to use this? But I want to encourage you, and we're going to build a case from Scripture this morning to show us and remind us that no matter how bad we're hurt, no matter what it is we're walking through, that God can use that to help other people. Guys, when we're hit with something big, right, when we're blindsided by something in life and just looking at the room right now, right, and knowing you guys and knowing your families and the people that we've talked to the past several weeks and months, we know that so many people are in this phase, in this stage of life right now. People have been hit by the hurricane, right, by Harvey, and their houses have flooded and they've lost a lot, and it's caused a lot of stress in their lives, a lot of stress in their families, and that is a lot of you guys. We know that people and families represented right here in this room have been faced with sudden illnesses. Been faced with sudden deaths. A lot of you guys go to school with people that have been in tragic accidents the last couple of weeks. We know that families in here are struggling. We know that people have been blindsided by their parents' divorces, by loss of jobs. Maybe some of you guys have felt betrayed by your friends or people that were close to you guys. Every single one of us, we go through these big things in life, and it seems like more and more and more the people in this room have been walking through them the past several weeks. And when we're blindsided, when it happens to us, we sort of begin to go on this journey. Right, the spiritual, this emotional, this journey, the different emotions that we experience. And we've walked through that the past several weeks in the series, getting through what you're going through. And that first one that we mentioned, when we're blindsided, when it first happens to us, when we didn't expect it, a shock. Right, we experience this incredible sense of shock because we weren't planning for it. We weren't prepared for it. We weren't expecting it to happen. And in that very first week, when we talked about shock and when it happens, we said that the thing we've got to do, right, looking at the book of Psalms and what David did and what David taught us, we've got to come underneath the shelter and the protection that only God can bring, right? We're shocked. And then we enter this stage of struggle where we wrestle with it, where we question what happened. We say, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? God, what's your point here? God, what are you trying to do in the midst of it? We move through struggle and we get to sorrow where we grieve, where we're sad, right? That the adrenaline from the initial shock has worn off and now we're just sad. Right? Enter into a low state or a low stage for us. And in the midst of that sadness, as we walk through Scripture, Pastor Ryan preached last week and talked about how that can and should maybe move to a place of surrender, right? Where we're still sad, right? But we're at this place of surrender. We say, you know what, God? I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't even really necessarily like it. But God, I trust you. God, you are bigger than me. You are wiser than me. My ways are not your ways, and God, you are so much higher, right? So we get to this place of trust in the midst of our trial, and as we move from surrender to this next one, as God works on us, as God puts us back together on the journey, and by the way, God does that with his grace, with his love, with his comfort. He can bring us to a place of service now, right? We move from surrender to service, where we allow God to begin to use what happened in our life for his glory and for our good, right? And that gets us to a place where our hurt helps, where our hurt can help other people. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So if you've got a Bible, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want you to see in Scripture from a guy that was hurting, a guy that hurt often, how he realized and how he wrote down, right, how God had him write down for us, right, a way that we can see that our hurt and the hurts that we experience can help other people. There's this divine spiritual purpose behind what's going on. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3, and I'm going to read a couple of verses just together. I want you guys to be looking at, if you've got your Bible, great. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be on the screens in just a minute. I want you guys to soak these verses up, then we're going to pray together, and we're going to unpack them. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, who comforts us in our trial and our struggle, who comforts us in our pain, so that we may be able," listen to this, there's purpose here, "so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with," look at this, "with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in," what's that next word? "We share abundantly in comfort too. If we're afflicted, if we're in a trial, it's for your comfort and for your salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings we suffer. I love this last part. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in sufferings, you also share in comfort. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to ask you to pray. Not just listen to me. I want you to pray just with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. This is your moment to go before God. And listen, guys, we're opening up Scripture together, right? We're opening up God's Word. And I want you to pray, right, for the wisdom and discernment that comes only from God to understand His Word. So if you would, just pray. Say, God, help me to understand the truth of Your Word this morning. God, help me to see and grasp what it is You're trying to teach me. And if you're walking through a difficult season of life right now, just in your moment of prayer right now, I want you to take a minute and ask God to help show you, to help bring you to a place where you can trust Him to know that your hurt or that your trial can be used by God to help others. God, we love You so much. God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the opportunity to open it together with one another. And God, Lord, I pray that as we read Your truth this morning, God, I pray that we would all understand and know and grasp that You, God, are a God of comfort. And that as You comfort us and as You love us, God, You are specifically and specially equipping us to comfort and love other people too. Not with good words or good advice, God, but with the same love that You have loved us with. God, we thank You for that truth this morning. It's in Your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. We just read a couple of verses. The first thing that I want you to pull out of these verses, if you're taking notes, if you're writing stuff down, if you're making mental notes in your head, whatever it is this, is that God is a God of comfort, right? Our God is a God of comfort. Look back at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So blessed be God, the Father of mercy and the God of all. Let's try it again. The God of all comfort. One more time. The God of all. God is a God of comfort. God brings comfort to us in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our hard times. Guys, He's there and He's willing and ready and able to comfort us. Now listen, a lot of us turn looking for comfort, right? When we're stressed out, what do? We look for comfort. When we're sad, what do? We look for comfort. When we don't know what to do, a lot of times we find ourselves turning all different kinds of places to look for comfort. Think in your head real quick, when you're stressed out, where do you turn to for comfort? Think it, don't say it out loud, just think in your head. I'm guessing that like 50 of you guys thought about Blue Bell cookies and cream ice cream, right? Like people turn to specific things for comfort, right? They turn to comfortable clothes. They turn to Blue Bell. Some turn to their friends. Some turn to TV, right? To just numb their minds for a little bit and find some kind of comfort. But let me tell you what comes with that comfort, right? A lot of times a stomach ache, sometimes a headache, right? At the end of you searching for comfort somewhere else, you find yourself where? Listen, look up here, guys. You find yourself still needing to be comforted, right? It does not work. It does not last. But the truth that we see in Scripture this morning is that our God is the God of all comfort. In the midst of a trial, in the midst of the good times of life, if we're to seek comfort, if we're to be comforted in our current situation or our current state of life, guys, that comfort, that real comfort, that true comfort, that lasting comfort is going to come from the God of all comfort. And we read about it right there. Guys, God comforts us. And as I thought about it, right, I was trying to think, how does God comfort me, right, in times of distress? How does God comfort me in the trials of life? And I sort of looked through God's Word and prayed about it and thought about it. And I've got four ways that God comforts us, if you want to think about these, guys. First is God comforts us with His presence. Right? He promises to never leave us or forsake us. He says that nothing can separate us from His love. He says that once we're a child of His, that we're held firmly in His hand. Guys, we can be comforted by the presence of God in our lives. We can be comforted also by the promises of God. And if we pick up God's Word and we see the promises of God over and over and over again, and you know what we don't see? We don't see broken promises. We don't see things that God failed to do. We don't see times where God messed up. We see a history throughout the Bible of God being faithful to his people. And guys, listen, in those hard times, those hard situations, those days where you're really struggling, pick up God's word and be encouraged by the promises of God. Lock in and be encouraged by the promises of God. And then as we read through scripture, guys, there's another way that God comforts us. And of course, it starts with a P as well. God comforts us with the people of God, right? God comforts us with the people around us. You guys just leaned into one another a few minutes ago and prayed for one another, for specific things that were going on in your life. Guys, don't let that one little window in a service every Sunday morning be the only time that happens. Guys, lean into one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, lift one another up. Allow God to provide his comfort to other people through you as you love and invest in them. Guys, God is the Father of all comfort. And it's an incredible thing and a great reminder for us that he's the God of all comfort. And as we keep reading, we see the second thing I want to make sure we lock into, and that's this, guys. God comforts his children, right? So God's the God of all comfort, and God freely gives. He extends that comfort to his children. He doesn't hold back from us. As we look at the first few words of verse 4, it says, who comforts us in our affliction. He's the God of all comfort, and he comforts you in your affliction, in your trial, in your hard time, in your stress, in your anxiety, in your depression, in your moment where you've just been completely blindsided. Guys, God comforts his children in the midst of that. He doesn't hold that back. He doesn't make you jump through hoops to get that. God is the God of all comfort, and he comforts his children. So guys, listen to me. When we walk through these situations, when we walk through these trials, don't pull away from God. Don't clam up. Don't run away from God. Instead, lean in to the God who is the God of all. Who is the God of all? Comfort. Lean in to the God of all comfort, because God comforts us in our trials, in our afflictions. It says it right there in verse 4. Now here's something unique. Bonus points here. I'm not sure what the prize is, but there's points with this, so just listen for a second. Who wrote 2 Corinthians? Who? Paul. Does this guy know anything about trials? Man, does this guy know anything about suffering? Goodness gracious. I mean, this guy, when you read about his life, right, the things that happened to him over and over and over again. Paul's not writing this locked away somewhere in a very, very safe space, writing about trials and God being a God of comfort. Paul's lived this. This is his life, right? This is everything that he's gone through. And so he's speaking from personal experience and personal testimony. Listen, God is the God of all comfort. Everything that's happened to me, everything that I've walked through, God has comforted me through it. So guys, I'm telling you, right? This is true. This is something that we can lean into. That it shouldn't be the last place that we turn. It should be the first place that we go when we encounter these trials and these struggles. Guys, we've got to lock into the God of all comfort as children of God. Right, let's go to our Father, right? God our Father, and ask him to comfort us in a way that only God can comfort us. And as he does that, listen, I want to encourage you and let you know and remind you that as God comforts us, as God is at work, right, look down at verse 6, right, and remember that God in the midst of that draws us to himself. So God is a God of comfort. God comforts his children. And then the next thing I want you to remember is this, guys. God draws us to himself in the midst of these trials. In verse 6, Paul writes, listen, if we're afflicted, like if we're going through something, it's ultimately for your comfort and salvation, right? So mentally, right, and spiritually, as we walk through these trials, this is where we start to see things turn the corner a little bit. Paul knows, look down at verse 6, Paul sees a clear purpose behind the trial that he's walked through. You see that? Paul sees a clear purpose behind the trial that he's walking through. And listen, in Paul's case, right here, right now, the purpose that he's walking through this is for other people. It's for the sake of other people, right? We turn the corner, right? We've talked about comfort. We've talked about grace for several weeks, and we've seen it this morning as well. Now we're going to see that God continues to move us through it. And I think that one of the things that helps give us comfort in the midst of our trials is this knowledge of the truth that we see in God's word, that there's a purpose behind what we're going through. And now, real quick, look up here. We might not always know it. We might not always see it. At the time, we might not necessarily understand the purpose, but the truth that we see in Scripture right here and several other examples I'm about to give you is this, that there's a purpose behind what is going on. Paul tells us in verse 6 that he knows his trials, his struggles, his hard times will result in two things. Look at verse 6. Two things. Look at it. It'll result in the comfort that comes from God, and it will result in the salvation of other people. And so Paul's at this place where he is willing to endure so that other people can know God and so that other people can be comforted and grow in their walks with Christ. When you read this passage, look, I want you to do me a favor. Look at these verses right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4, 5, 6, right in there. I don't see any grumbling or complaining by Paul. I don't see, you know what, it really stinks that I have to go through this, but I guess if I have to go through this, maybe God's going to use it some way, somehow. That there's this sense that he is very okay with and maybe even very willing to endure these things for the sake of other people. Y'all see that? Is that making sense a little bit? Right? There's this spiritual purpose for God's glory behind what he's going through. Now I'm going to invite you into my private study time real quick, okay? As I'm reading God's word this week, as I'm thinking about these verses and this verse specifically out on the margin of my Bible, I wrote down a question that I asked myself based on what I'm perceiving Paul's heart to be as he writes this. Paul seems to be willing to go through all of this stuff for the sake of other people's souls, for the sake of other people to know God and experience the comfort that comes only from God. And what I wrote down on the margin of my Bible was this: what am I willing to endure so that other people can be comforted with God's love? And then underneath it, I wrote, what am I willing to endure so that other people could know the saving power of Jesus Christ? What am I willing to go through in order for those things to happen? Paul knew there's a spiritual purpose. Paul writes that there is a spiritual purpose. It's for the comfort and the salvation of, in this case, the Corinthians, right? The church in Corinth, right? He's going through these things for specific people, for a specific purpose, not his plan, not his purpose, but God's plan and God's purpose, not Paul's glory and not Paul's comfort, but ultimately God's glory, right? There's this spiritual purpose as God draws people to himself in the midst of trials. And we don't just see it right here. We see it in James chapter 1, where he says, count it pure joy when we encounter trials and hardships of many times. He goes on to write, the testing of our faith produces steadfastness. We know that in a lot of these circumstances, right, we should be joy-filled in the midst of them because God is growing us. God is stretching us. God is drawing us to himself in the midst of it as well. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, there's this great word, this great phrase that Paul writes down. He says, what happened to me has served to advance the gospel. He doesn't complain about what's happened to him. Rather, instead, he says, listen, I'm in prison. Got a bad deal here, but what happened to me, guys, don't be frustrated, don't be down, don't be depressed. What happened to me has served to advance the gospel. And he gives us two very specific things. He says the palace guard has now heard the word of Christ, and the other Christians who were maybe a little bit nervous and timid to share their faith, they've become bolder in the sharing of their faith because of the trial that I have endured. Are you guys tracking with me? You seeing this pattern in Scripture that there's this spiritual purpose behind what's going on, that God is at work even when we don't see it, when we don't sense it, we don't understand it, don't know it. We might not even like it, but we can trust and know that God is at work. He's drawing us to himself. He's drawing other people to himself. And I want you guys to look up here. Here's another way that God is at work in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your hard time. Every eye up here, I want you guys to hear this. This is important. As we walk through hard times, guys, God is equipping us very specifically, very uniquely. As you are walking through something right now, no matter what it is that you are walking through, God is very specifically and very uniquely equipping you to share his love and his comfort with other people, right? God is walking you through a situation that, guess what? you're probably going to encounter someone else who's walking through it later in life. And because you've walked through it, and because God has loved you through it, and because the God of all comfort has carried you through it, you are now uniquely equipped with a love that comes only from God to love other people through these very similar situations that they are undoubtedly going to go through as well. Listen, when we're hit with something big, going back to the beginning, when we're hit with something big, when Hurricane Harvey brings water inside our house and takes away a lot of things that we used to have, when someone in our family comes home from the doctor and says that they've got cancer and there's not much that the doctors can do, when we suddenly lose friends or family members, right, through tragedy, when our parents come home and say that the marriage is over, when there's a loss of job, when we're betrayed, like when all of these things happen, when these life events hit us, guys, know that as you walk through that journey, as God, the God of all comfort, loves you, as he pours into you, as he invests in you, as he comforts you, and as he carries you, guys, he's equipping you in a very, very unique way and bringing you through it at the other end. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. It might be a lot of time in between, but at some point, God's going to bring you to a place where you can know and realize and understand, guys, that our hurt can help. All right, and that's the last point, guys, that our hurt can help, that God can use what we have been through to help other people. Look back. Verse 4. The God of all comfort comforts us in all, not some, not just the big, not just the little. God comforts us in all of our trials, all of our struggles, so that there's more purpose here, guys. Look at verse 4. Get your eyes on the screen, eyes on the Bible, so that there's a reason. So that what? So that what? So that we can do something. So that we may be able to comfort other people who are in any affliction. And we're not just comforting them with good advice or sending cookies to their house. That's a good thing. Send them cookies. Not just that. So that we can comfort them with what? With the love that we were comforted from by God. What an incredible concept. God loves us through something, and as he loves us through it, he's equipping us to then love other people through what we've just been through. Do you understand that? Do you sort of see how God is at work in the midst of this? There's a book written by a guy named John Piper, right? And he wrote, it's called Don't Waste Your Life, right? This concept that, listen, you got to be a steward of the life that God's given you. Go out, bring glory to God. He wrote, Don't Waste Your Life. And a few years later, he wrote another book, right, with a similar title. I want you to hear the title of this other book. He wrote in the hospital, actually. It's a little short kind of pamphlet thing. He wrote this other book. Instead of Don't Waste Your Life, now he's written a book called Don't Waste Your Cancer. And he wrote it as he battled cancer. Right, and from what I read about the book this week, it looks like that they finished it or put the finishing touches on it the night before he went into surgery for cancer. And he knew, right, that God was loving him in the midst of a situation and uniquely and specially equipping him to comfort and love other people with God's love and comfort who were going to walk through that same situation, who were going to walk through that same scenario. And now he's not loving them with his love. He's loving them with the love that God has loved him through in the midst of it. God is at work. Right, God is at work. God can use our hurt to help other people. Not to help them get through the day, but to help them draw closer to God in the midst of whatever it is that they're going through. There's this guy in the Old Testament, and his name was Joseph. Right, and Joseph was the favorite kid. Raise your hand if you're the favorite kid in your family. It's awkward if you're sitting by your sibling right now, okay? Put your hands down, all right? So Joseph, hold on, look up here, guys. Look up. Joseph was the favorite. Everybody sort of knew Joseph was the favorite. His brothers didn't like that he was the favorite. And so his brothers decided they're going to get rid of the favorite. And they made a plan to kill their brother. It's pretty serious stuff. Look up here, guys. Don't talk to your brother right now. You know they're the favorite. Don't talk to them, right? Here's the deal. All right, Joseph's going to be killed by his brothers, because he's the favorite. One of them steps in and says, let's not kill him. Let's do something different. And they sold him into slavery. Right? They sold their brother into slavery. And he's carried to another country. And he ends up as a slave in Egypt. Right? He works hard. he has to survive. He rises up the ranks a little bit. He's accused of something he doesn't do. Where does he end up? He ends up in prison, right? And again, he works hard and does what he can do and gets to a place where he's like one of the main guys that's running the entire country of Egypt. And because of the wisdom that God gave him, God used him to store up a bunch of food before a famine came. And years later, right? Not 1 year, not 2 years, not three, but years later, his brothers make it into Egypt. And you know what they're doing? They're begging for food, right? They get to a place where they need food. And all of a sudden, they're standing before the guy that has the food. And who is it? It's their brother that they were going to kill and sold into slavery a long time before. And I want you to hear this, right? We're getting to a place where we understand and realize our hurt can help other people, right? Joseph looked at him and said, listen, what you guys meant for evil, God meant for good. And God used what happened in my life over the years to bring about something good, to help other people. And I want you to listen to this. He might not have realized that the first week after his trial. He might not have realized that the first year, the fifth year, or the tenth year. It might have been a while where God was at work in his heart, but he got to a place where he understood that God had a specific role and a specific purpose for him. And guys, no matter what it is you've gone through, as we've looked through 2 Corinthians verses, chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 this morning, guys, we've seen that God can comfort us, that God can shower us with his love and bring us to a place where God's love inside of us can now help other people walking through very similar circumstances. And guys, I'm going to give you two examples of students right here in this ministry where that's been the case, right? There's a kid, he's graduated from college, he's in seminary, he's working at Second Baptist. His sister is in the ministry here. I'm not sure if she's here this morning or not, but Taylor Strickland, former student, look, she's sitting like right in front of me. Avery's sitting down here as well. So Avery, how old were you when your father passed away? Were you elementary school? So Avery's in first grade when her father passed away. Taylor was in middle school when their father passed away. And so it was this process where it wasn't always easy, and it's probably still difficult at times, but watching the way that God has loved them and the way that God has walked with them and the way that God has encouraged them has been absolutely incredible to see the work and the love of God, the comfort and the love of God at work in their life. And so over the years, I have seen Taylor, I've seen your big brother, pull so many students aside who have lost a parent. I've seen him pull so many young men aside who have lost their father, and he's able to love on them, and he's able to encourage them from a very different place that I could love on them or encourage them. He's coming from a place where he understands their pain, and he knows what they're walking through. And he's able to share the love of God, not the love of Taylor. He's able to share the love of God, that God loved him through that situation and uniquely equipped him to minister to other people. You see how God does that? Okay, Taylor is obedient to God and responding to God and doing what God is calling him to, doing what God has equipped him uniquely to do as he invests in other people who are in his situation. There's another student named Nick who struggled all through high school. Went to high school right around here. He's out. He's in college now. He struggled all through high school with drug addiction, right? Just a bad spot at home led to a bad spot in his personal life and a downward spiral and a lot of very, very bad things happening in his life because of that addiction, right? Over time, God freed him from that. God worked a miracle in his life to get him to a place where that is no longer the case. And now he's launched this ministry that goes out and helps high school kids, college age kids that are struggling with these same kinds of things. He speaks on it. He talks on it. He helps other people struggle as they're struggling through it because God uniquely worked in his life, right? It's different for me or you maybe to go and have a conversation with someone struggling with that, but because of the love and the comfort that God showered on Nick, God's equipped him to go and to do and make a huge difference in the life of other people, not with his love, not with his grace, not with his mercy, but the love, grace, mercy, and comfort that comes only from God, right, in the midst of those situations. Whatever it is you've been through, whatever it is you're walking through now, I want to encourage you and remind you that your hurt can help. Not help get somebody through a day. Your hurt can help draw somebody closer to Christ.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.